Okay, are you ready? Okay. Just now we have discussed about indefinitely effective karma. Now a question for you. Why a karma performed only once produce numerous results along the round of samsara? It's not fair. Why? Why? Somebody stand up and speak. The same karma. They say just now the Lord Sakatisa throw away the monk's food. Only perform only once. No. No. Why? Those who have attended my Abhidhamma course should be able to answer. Those who do not attend, then it's okay. You are forgiven. But those who have attended, please, I have satisfied you already, so you must satisfy me. So, what is the reason? Stand up and speak, please. Why one karma perform only once? Bear so many numerous results. Why repeated? The result was repeated so many times. He had to suffer so many lifetimes. Only one life enough. I do one, then I suffer one life, finished. But it's not like that. Karma never work like that. Why?
Is it because of when we do the action, right? The javana is keep on running and so fast, and in that short time produce a lot of
very good. Okay, very good. Because of repetition of javana, one blink of eye, billions, thousand billions of javana, consciousness arise and pass away. So one blink of eye, billions of consciousness arise and pass away. Then in the unwholesome javana, unwholesome cognitive process, there are seven javana. So when you throw away people's food, how long it takes? Will not be faster than one blink of eye. So one blink of eye already produced billions of volition. So throw away the food, let's say 5 seconds only. But before that, the volition want to throw, also karma. So how many karma are accumulated during the moment of throwing the food of others? So each karma left behind is karmic force. So whenever this karmic force meet with all favorable conditions, it will produce its result. If this Losakatisa did not enter into Paridibbana, he had to pay the result again. That result will never exhausted. At that karma, karmic force that happened in the 2 to 6 were never exhausted. Because of the speed of consciousness. Okay? At least somebody can answer. Okay, next. Another classification of karma. The plane in which the effects take place. Classification of karma according to the plane in which the effects take place, there are four kinds of karma. One is unwholesome karma. Number two, wholesome karma pertaining to the sense sphere. Number three, wholesome karma pertaining to the five material sphere. And number four, wholesome karma pertaining to the immaterial sphere. Unwholesome karma. Unwholesome karma is threefold. According to the door of action, namely bodily action, verbal action, and mental action. Bodily action, there are three bodily action: killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct. And for verbal action, there are four: lying, slandering, harsh speech, and frivolous talk. And for mental action, there are three: covetousness, ill will, and false view. What is covetousness? Suppose you have very small car. When you see somebody's big car, then a thought arises in you. How nice, this car belongs to me. This is called covetousness. I think this occurs very often in our mental stream. Suppose your wife is not beautiful. When you meet with beautiful girl, how nice if my wife is as beautiful like her. Something like that. It's called covetousness. Longing for other people's property. Okay, the next one is ill will. Sometimes your mind wanting somebody to meet with bad. It's called ill will. Then the false view. The worst false view is not accepting the law of karma. If you do not accept the law of karma, it's called false views. Because of not accepting the law of karma, you can do various types of unwholesome deeds. Because you are not afraid of result. And these 10 unwholesome karma are performed by 12 unwholesome consciousness. We have 12, among 89 consciousness, we have 12 unwholesome consciousness. 8 rooted in hatred, 2 rooted in, sorry, 8 rooted in greed, 2 rooted in hatred, and 2 rooted in delusion. So this 10 unwholesome karma are performed by this 12 unwholesome consciousness. Either rooted in greed, hatred, or delusion. So normally, killing is done by consciousness rooted in anger and delusion. Through bodily action. And stealing is done by consciousness rooted in greed and delusion. Sexual misconduct is done by consciousness rooted by greed and delusion. In Pao, there's one yogi, when he listened his past life, I think number 10 life, he had performed sexual misconduct. After that, after his death, he was reborn in great hell. After escape from the great hell, he was reborn in minor hell again. So this is the result of sexual misconduct. And among these 10, a wrong view that denies the working of karma is the most serious of all the unwholesome cause of karma. Why? Because when one holds a wrong view, it's very easy to do the other unwholesome things. Indeed, it's inevitable. If you do not believe cause and effect, then you will do killing because no need to pay for it. You will steal other people's things because you do not believe the result of stealing and so on. Okay, and unwholesome karma and the plane in which the effects take place. So we have all 12 unwholesome karma. 11 unwholesome karma exclude consciousness rooted in restlessness. There are two types of consciousness rooted in delusion. One is associated with what? Doubt. Another is associated with restlessness. So among the 12 unwholesome consciousness, 11 unwholesome consciousness exclude consciousness rooted in restlessness, can produce rebirth in 4 woeful states. And that rebirth consciousness is called unwholesome investigating consciousness accompanied by equanimity. For those who reborn as hungry ghosts, animal, asura, and hell, their rebirth consciousness is this consciousness, unwholesome investigating consciousness accompanied by equanimity. And all the 12 unwholesome consciousness, either rooted in greed, hatred, and delusion, during life can produce 7 rootless unwholesome resultant in the 11 sense sphere. 11 sense sphere including 4 woeful states, 1 human, and 6 deva. So this 12 unwholesome consciousness can produce 7 rootless unwholesome resultant during life. What are the 7 rootless unwholesome resultant? Never give me the answer. What are the 7 unwholesome resultant? Eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, and receiving consciousness, investigating consciousness. So 7. Okay. And also this 12 unwholesome consciousness can produce 4 rootless unwholesome resultant for Brahma in 5 material sphere. This 12 unwholesome consciousness do not occur at this present life for the Brahma world, because Brahma world has no unwholesome consciousness. This is the past. This 12 unwholesome consciousness performed in the past, they produce this 4 rootless unwholesome resultant during life in the Brahma world. So 3 are excluded. What are the 3? Brahma has no sensitivity. So if Brahma have no sensitivity, then have no sensitivity, then the nose consciousness will not arise. So exclude nose consciousness and tongue consciousness, and one more, body consciousness. They have the form, they have the body form, but no sensitivity. So if there's no sensitivity, the consciousness, the body consciousness which arises depend on body sensitivity, will not arise. So when this thought unwholesome, so when the Brahma, when the Brahma came down to the human world, so their eye sees unpleasant object. Their ear listen unpleasant sound. So does this arise during life? Okay. And now we come to wholesome karma. Wholesome karma is through abstinence from the 3 doors of body, bodily action, verbal action, and mental action. So bodily action including abstinence from killing, from stealing, and from sexual misconduct. And speech, the wholesome karma of speech is abstinence from lying, from slandering, from harsh speech, and from frivolous talk. And the last, non-covetousness, non-ill will, and right view. Believing the law of karma. Okay. Except apart from this 10, there are another 10. We call 10 bases of meritorious deed. They are giving, a dana, or offering, a virtue, morality, meditation, samatha, not reaching, jhana, and vipassana, and reverence, pay respect to the elders, to the monks, and so on. Service, the service you offer. And the sharing of merit, rejoicing in others' merit. When you see other people do dana, you just happily call sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That's all. Very easy. Another one is healing the dhamma. Then teaching the dhamma and strengthening out one's view. These are another 10 base of meritorious deed. And the teaching dhamma, among all the dana, the teaching the dhamma excels all gifts. And the Buddha say, sabba danang dhamma danang jinati. The gift of dhamma excels all gifts. So today I give you the best dana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You learn very fast. Okay, now we come to, I think it's very important part for you to bear a greatest result. In sense sphere wholesome karma, the sense sphere wholesome karma can be divided into 2. One is tihetuka kusala karma, 3 roots of wholesome karma. This Tihetuka Kusala Karma, or three roots of wholesome karma, can be divided into superior three roots wholesome karma and inferior three roots wholesome karma. When it's called superior Tihetuka Kusala Karma, or superior three roots wholesome karma, that is preceded and followed by purity of mental factors. And if it is called inferior Tihetuka Kusala Karma, it's preceded and followed by corrupted mental factors. Suppose you want to do dana. Now I give an example of inferior three roots wholesome karma. You want to do dana. Before you do, preceded by corrupted mental factors. Before you want to do dana, you have the aim. For example, I offer 1,000. But with the one requirement, that my name must be published in a newspaper. This is called preceded by corrupted mental factors. Or I want to do dana because I want to be praised by everybody. Say that I am a great donor. I want to praise by others. With this intention, you do the dana. So your dana is preceded by corrupted mental factors. Okay? And followed by corrupted mental factors. After you have performed the dana, for example, you have given 1,000. After that, you remorse. I should give 500, enough. too much, 1,000. So you remorse. Then your dana is followed by corrupted mental factors. If a dana is followed by corrupted mental factors, what will be the result? Suppose you perform a dana. This is very important for you because you do dana every day. So suppose you perform a dana. After that, you regret. So when this dana ripen, dana is good, wholesome, is wholesome. When ripen, you become a human being. And because you perform dana, you become wealthy human beings. But when you perform that dana, you remorse afterward. So what will be the result? Become poor? No, you will become a wealthy man, but you never know how to enjoy your wealth. You ride in the broken cart instead of Mercedes. You ride maybe bicycle. Maybe a big bungalow, but you sleep on the floor. Then instead of wedding, the most fashionable clothes you wear, don't know what they wear. Wear very simple or very poor quality of clothes and so on. So you cannot enjoy your wealth, although you are very rich. Why? Because you remorse. So during there's one story, a very rich person, when he saw Pacheka Buddha coming for alms round, so he asked his he offered some food to the Pacheka Buddha, but after that, He feel that it's a waste to offer to Pacheka Buddha. So he remorse. Because of the offering food to the Pacheka Buddha, he was reborn as a wealthy man. But because of the remorse of his own good action, he never know how to enjoy his wealth. And after he dead, he has no son and daughter, so all his property was given to the government. So it's very important for you to understand, all this, because you perform dana all the time. Your dana mustn't preceded and followed by corrupted mental factors. Not only that, another bad effect will come very soon. Okay. Now we come to Drihetuka Kusala Karma, two roots of wholesome karma. Okay, let me ask you, what are the meaning of three roots? Because some are new. What are the meaning of three roots of wholesome karma? These three roots mean wholesome, mean non-greed, non-hatred, and non-delusion. Non-delusion means wisdom. So this person perform the karma with the understanding of the law of karma. He understand this is a good action will produce good result. So this is called three roots. But there's another karma called two roots of wholesome karma. Two roots of wholesome karma. These two roots also can be divided into two. One is called superior duihetuka, superior two roots karma, and inferior two roots karma. So this person performed the dana without understanding. For example, if he performs superior two roots karma, he performed the dana without understanding the law of karma. But it's superior because it does not preceded and followed by corrupted mental factors. And it's inferior because it's preceded and followed by corrupted mental factors. Okay, now the result. Superior three roots. What result it bears? That's very important for you. So sense sphere wholesome karma can be three root superior, three root inferior, two roots superior, and two roots inferior. For three roots superior, produce rebirth linking consciousness. Only four great resultants accompanied with wisdom. We have eight resultant consciousness. Four dissociated with wisdom, four associated with wisdom. Only those three roots superior can give result as rebirth linking consciousness, four great resultant accompanied with wisdom. And during life, this wholesome karma can produce all eight great resultants and eight rootless wholesome resultant. This only during life. This during rebirth. Okay. And if there's three roots inferior, preceded by or followed by corrupted mental factors. If you do the dana with inferior three roots, then it will produce your rebirth linking consciousness. Four great resultants without accompanied with wisdom. If your rebirth consciousness is without accompanied with wisdom, this life, then if you come to the practice of Samatha meditation, you will never achieve jhana, not to speak nibbana. So it's so important. So it's so important you should perform three roots superior wholesome karma. You should not perform three roots inferior karma. So the dana you perform should not be preceded or followed by corrupted mind. Okay? And the two roots superior will produce rebirth linking consciousness. Either one, four great resultant without accompanied with wisdom. This is sure because these two roots cannot produce three roots. Okay, and the last one, I think this you read yourself. I don't have time. The last one, inferior, two roots inferior, produce wholesome, rootless, resultant, investigating consciousness accompanied by equanimity. So this person was born blind or deformed. Because this type of wholesome karma is very weak, no power. So understand, that's why Abhidhamma is so important. If you do not attend Abhidhamma, no one will explain this to you. And you are performing dana every day. Maybe you are performing only inferior three roots or superior three roots. Then it gives this result, which is not what we want as a Buddhist. Because we want to practice meditation to uproot our deformments. Okay, so this is the dana I give to you. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Now we come to... Okay, before that... Okay. This dana... Dana can be divided into Now I'm not talking about roots. Dana can be divided into, just for your knowledge sake, dana can be divided into superior dana, medium dana, and inferior dana. Now suppose you perform dana expecting to become wealthy men in the future. This type of dana is called inferior dana. Suppose another case, you perform dana with the aim to escape from the realm of rebirth. This type of dana is called medium dana. If you perform the dana with the aim to save all sentient beings, like what have been performed by Bodhisattva, to help or to save all sentient beings, to get out of realm of rebirth, because Bodhisattva had to give up all his limbs, his life, his eyes, and so on. That type of dana, just to fulfill his dharmaparami in order to become Sammasambuddha. Only when he becomes Sammasambuddha, he can show the noble eightfold path to the people, and the people follow his noble eightfold path. Then finally, they will get out of realm of rebirth. So this type of dana is called superior dana. I think it's very difficult for us to fulfill the superior dana, so we should aim at medium dana. Okay? And another type of dana, if you offer things which, if you offer material things which the quality is lower than what you yourself consume, you know, you eat better one, the poor quality one you offer. This type of dana is called inferior dana. If you offer material things equal to what you consume, equal, you use this one and you offer the same thing to the monks and nuns, it's called medium dana. If you offer the things super quality, which you never use, you never use for yourself, but you offer to others. This type of dana is called superior dana. I'm not asking you to offer me superior dana, just for your knowledge sake. Then, since there's inferior dana, medium dana, superior dana, so if the result ripens, will it be the same? Will it be the same? No. So you should know what type of dana you should perform. Okay, now we come to five wholesome karmas of five material sphere. So five wholesome karma of five material sphere consists of first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, and fifth jhana. And it takes, and this jhana, when the effect ripen, it will ripen in the five material world. Five material world. Now we come to four wholesome karma of immaterial sphere. There are four. Wholesome consciousness pertaining to the base of infinite space, the base of consciousness, the base of nothingness, and the base of neither perception nor non-perception. So when this karma ripen, the effect will take place in immaterial world, the top. Okay. So now we have finished fourfold division of karma. By way of function, there are four. Can we read together? Number one, productive karma. Two, supportive karma. Obstructive karma and destructive karma. And by order of ripening, there are four. Weighty karma, that proximate karma, habitual karma, and reserved karma. And by time of ripening, there are four. Immediately effective karma, subsequently effective karma, indefinitely effective karma, and defunct karma. So by place of ripening, there are four. Unwholesome karma, sense sphere wholesome karma, fine material sphere wholesome karma, and immaterial sphere wholesome karma. Okay. So there are various types of karma. And there are fourfold event of death. Number one is through the expiration of the lifespan. Suppose the lifespan at the present time is 75. And a person die at the age of 75, then we say that his death is through the expiration of the lifespan. Okay? And number two is through the expiration of the productive karmic force. Let's say Ananda, Venerable Ananda, passed away at the age of 120, beyond the lifespan. During Buddha's time, the lifespan is 100. But Venerable Ananda lived up to 120, then he passed away. So his death is through the expiration of the productive karmic force, because his productive karma is very powerful. So he can live beyond the lifespan, the limit of the lifespan. And number three, to the simultaneous expiration of both. So the person died at the age of 75. At the same time, his productive karmic force only can sustain him up to 75 years old. So at this, then his death is called through the simultaneous expiration of both. Both mean lifespan and productive karma. And number one, the last is called through the intervention destructive karma. Because of the arising of destructive karma, that person suddenly die. Like Devadatta. Devadatta die because of destructive karma. Okay. So these are the fourfold event of death. Now, at the time of death, there are three signs appear. Number one is called karma. Number two, sign of karma. And number four, number one, karma. Number two, sign of karma. Number three, sign of destination. Why does the sign arise? Why? It arises because of past karma that has met all the conditions to produce rebirth consciousness in the next life. So Arahant has no this sign, because no rebirth. So this sign do not arise in Arahant's mental stream. So we have studied three, karma, sign of karma, and sign of destination. What is the karma? The wholesome and unwholesome deeds or volition done in the past. For example, if you perform dana, you have offering food to the monk, come for pindabat, then during your dying moment, you see yourself as if you perform the same thing again. This one is called karma. And the butcher, when the butcher, he will see himself as if he is killing the animal again. It's called karma. Then if I die, because of today's wholesome karma of preaching Dhamma to all of you, if this karma ripen in my dying moment, I will see myself preaching the Dhamma to all of you. So this is called karma. Okay. Number two, sign of karma, an instrument used in performing wholesome or unwholesome karma. For example, if you have offered rose to the Buddha, to the pagoda, when this karma ripens, it will appear in your dying moment as sign of karma. Because you use this flower to offer. It's an instrument you use in performing wholesome deeds. And for example, if you have already performed, offered the ropes for the monks, and when this karma ripens, this rope will appear in your dying moment as sign of karma. Okay. And sign of destination, an indication of where rebirth is to occur. Suppose if your dying person sees fire, then it indicates that the rebirth will take place in hell. Okay. If the dying person sees Deva Ram, then it indicates the rebirth will take place in Deva. Now we come to death and rebirth linking. And this is very important topic. Death and rebirth linking. Suppose during dying moment, this person, because of karma, because of wholesome deed of offering food to the monks, and this karma ripen at his dying moment. So the near-death cognitive process arises, taking this karma as its object. Number one is called bhavanga. Number two, vibrating bhavanga. Number three, arresting bhavanga, followed by my dual averting consciousness, and followed by five javana, then registering consciousness. These are called near-death cognitive process, not including death. So this near-death cognitive process take karma as object. The death does not take this as object. So during the dying moment, when the faculty of the eye, ear, nose, etc. have ceased, and the body faculty, mind faculty, heart base and life faculty remain, then consciousness, which has its support, the heart base, all the consciousness arise depend on heart base. So the consciousness which has its support, the heart base, still remain at that moment. So the consciousness still here, depending on the heart base, supported by the heart base. Okay. And this consciousness occurs either contingent upon some karma, contingent upon this karma, offering of food to the monks. Or this consciousness occur contingent upon the object made to appear by that karma. Let's say, he see the food only, rice, that object, okay. And that rice object, let's say this is rice because he offer rice. And that rice appear because of offering karma. Okay. So this object appear, made to appear by that offering of rice. And while the consciousness is occurring thus, because craving, please listen attentively, because craving and ignorance have not been abandoned, the craving for existence, for this dying person, he crave for new existence. So the craving for existence pushes the consciousness. And the formation, or all this formation, karma formation, flings the consciousness onward. Flings it forward. And the danger in the new existence, whatever existence is in danger, Buddha say. All this 31 plane is in fire. So the danger of the new existence is covered by ignorance. Okay? And the danger of existence, the dangers in existence are concealed by ignorance. And while as a continuous process of death and birth, Wa is a continual process without break. Wa is a continual process of death to rebirth. It is being pushed by craving and flung forward by the karma formation. And this consciousness, that consciousness, abandoned its former support and gets a further support in a new life. You understand it? It's very profound, you see, the teaching of the Dhamma. It's very profound. So this consciousness abandon the former support and get the new support in the new life. So the rebirth consciousness arise depend on the heart base, which arise simultaneously with it produced by previous karma. So then the consciousness will continue to flow up to the that moment. Okay, for the determination of that, for those beings in the immaterial realm, after death, they may reborn in same plane. For example, the being in the infinite space, when this being die here, he may reborn in the same plane again. Okay. Or he may reborn in a higher plane, here, higher plane. Either he will be reborn in infinite consciousness or nothingness or neither perception nor non-perception. Or this Brahma may reborn in the sensuous plane that's here, with three roots. Never in four abhaya. The Brahma in immaterial realm, when passed away, never take rebirth in the four woeful states. But they can take rebirth in the Deva realm or human realm with three roots. Never two roots. Okay. And for beings for the Brahma in the five material realm, after they pass away, they may take rebirth in immaterial plane if they practice immaterial jhana and maintain it up to dying moment. They will take rebirth in the higher plane, in the immaterial plane, or they will take rebirth in the fine material plane again, or they may take rebirth in the sensual plane, six deva realm or human realm, with three or two roots. And for the devas and human with three roots, when they pass away, they may take rebirth in any plane, in any place, either in the hell, animal, hungry ghost, or in the Brahma, or in the immaterial realm. Because human with three roots are very powerful. Huh? And the last one, the beings in the eleven sensual planes with two roots or no root only take rebirth in planes either with two rootless investigating consciousness or two roots sense sphere resultant consciousness and three roots sense sphere resultant consciousness. So if now you have no root or you have two roots, but because of the wholesome karma you perform, you can become three roots again. You can become three roots person again. Okay. Now we come to the continuity of consciousness. Now in the past life, when a person passed away, that consciousness occur, and for those who have taken rebirth, from the moment immediate following the cessation of the rebirth linking, for those who have taken rebirth and after that rebirth consciousness, this same type of consciousness apprehending that same object flows on uninterruptedly like the stream of a river. And it does so until the arising of the dead consciousness, so long as there is no occurrence of a cognitive process. Being an essential factor of existence or life, this consciousness is called the life continuum. It's called life continuum. Or Bhavanga. At the end of life, having become the death consciousness on the occasion of passing away, the consciousness then ceases. Now the Bhavanga ceases. Thereafter, the rebirth linking consciousness and the other's consciousness continue to occur, revolving in due sequence like the wheel of a cart. And the wise, disciplining themselves long, understand the impermanence of life, realize the deathless state, and completely cutting off the factors of attachment, and attain peace. So this is the end of my topic. Any question? No question? Okay, transfer merit. Okay. Okay. If you have wish, but if you already incline, you know, whatever dana you perform, you already incline it towards the realization of Nibbana, you don't have to say it again. Yes, yes. But you incline your mind. You wish this dana be a supportive karma for you to realize Nibbana. So if you have that inclination, it's enough. You don't have to express in words. But if you just do without, if you understanding the law of karma, it will be good. But sometimes you don't have any wish. You just do with understanding of karma, but you do not have any wish, then it's also okay. Okay? Any other, okay?
In the dying space, can you just give us some ideas how to prepare our last moment of death?
You should ask if you have a lot of wholesome karma in this life. You have accumulated already a lot of wholesome karma in this life, then most probably it becomes a habitual karma. Then it will arise during your dying moment, a good sign. Then you will be reborn in a good plane. But for ordinary beings, you know, mind is very fast. You may have accumulated a lot of wholesome karma, but during last thought moment, a bad thought may arise in you. So, for place safe, you should ask your Buddhist friend or your son and daughter or your family member, before I die, please read out all my wholesome deeds I have performed during this life. So during in Sri Lanka, there's one king. He has performed a lot of wholesome deeds, building pagoda, you know, promote Buddha Sasana, and he has performed one good deed. That is while he was defeated, and he ran into the forest. At that time, his follower offered him some food, but he has a habit. Before he eat any food, he want to offer to monks first. So at that time, there's no monk in the forest. So he prayed, may a monk appear and receive my food. Then the arahant flying in the sky appear in front of him. So he offered this food, one portion of the food to this arahant. Then after he gained back his place as a king, then before his passing away, he asked his follower to read out all his meritorious deeds he had performed. And this special one offered to the arahant filled him with joy. Then after passed away, he was reborn in heaven. So this one way that you should write down from today onward, or you recall what you have performed in the... This is serious, not joking. This is for your better rebirth. So you should recall what you have performed, all the good deeds you have performed in the past, and write down one by one. And always tell your family member first. Because that can occur at any time, any moment. So, in case I going to die, please read for me. Because sometimes the mind is too weak, you cannot recall. Dying moment, your mind is so weak, you cannot recall the good deeds you have performed. So you need other people to help you to recall. This is one way. Another way, you can invite monks and friends to chant for you. to ask you to accept the five precepts at the dying moment, to recite the five precepts again, is also the very wholesome thought.
Is it possible for those practitioners of meditation at the last moment of during the process of passing away, or maybe wait for a couple of hours, is it possible for them to mindfully watch the three tendencies of the
ego? Yes, if his insight is very sharp. If his insight is very sharp, he can. If his mind is strong and his insight wisdom is very sharp, he can. Or the best way, maybe easy way, you just mindful of your breath, breathing in, breathing out. Or your friend asks you, please breathing in, breathing out. Then you follow breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. And you pass away, you go to a good place. Because concentrating on the breath, your mind is not corrupted with defilements. It's pure. So you will be reborn in the good place. Okay? Okay. Yes?
Is it equally effective if you keep on playing from a CD,
Yes. If that dying person can respond to it, I mean can joyful, can feel joy. If he is angry with the parita, then he will go to the bad rebirth, you know, because we don't know his mind. If he's happy with that parita chanting, then he will go to the good rebirth. But if don't open for me, switch off. Then if he's angry, then he will not go to better birth. I think the safest is that you attend Sotapan. When you attend Sotapan, four woeful states, the gate of four woeful states close completely. You don't need other people's help. But it's very difficult. It's very difficult. Okay, any question? Any other? Okay.
Yes. Okay, let's go home. Can you speak into the mic?
Sure. Okay. Can I explain further? Yes. If a person has performed very serious bad deed, and who is going to reborn in a hell, because of the karma, because of the that heavy or bad karma, that fire sign appear in his dying moment. And this sign of fire only can be seen by himself. Cannot be seen by us. Why? Not in the dream. It appear in his mind door connective process. Can be eye door, can be mind door. There are many different things. For example, just now I have said, if that person, because we have performed various good deeds, sometimes dana, sometimes sila, sometimes bhavana, sometimes preaching the Dhamma. So that person may see, like me, I may see myself preaching the Dhamma, or I may see myself meditating. All these are good deeds, or good signs will appear during my dying moment. Or I may see myself listening to my teacher's talk, like all of you. So when this listening to this Dhamma talk is a good wholesome, if it ripen during your dying moment, you will see yourself listening to the Dhamma talk. So all these signs will appear. Different type of signs, because we have performed different type of wholesome karma.
There's a question from the back.
Louder, please. Yes. Right. Okay, good question, and it's very good. You should understand why. Okay? The importance of writing down and ask somebody to read for you is to help us to have better rebirth. If you have a better rebirth, so if you reborn in the, let's say, Deva realm, Deva realm is a good realm. If you reborn in a good realm, all our past unwholesome karma find less opportunity to ripen. Less opportunity. If you reborn in a four woeful state, because four woeful state is covered by unwholesomeness, then all our unwholesome karma done in the past, not only one life, maybe many, many previous life, got all the opportunity, all the condition to ripen. So you will be reborn again and again in a four woeful state. All your good karma find no opportunity to ripen. So it's a very important to have a good rebirth so that all the good karma we have performed in the past get the opportunity to ripen. And also, if you reborn in a good rebirth, you have good rebirth, you can meet with wise person, Karaniya Mitta. You can learn meditation, you can listen to the Dharma, you can practice morality and so on. You may be able to achieve Nibbana. So it's important to have good rebirth. Of course, all our unwholesome karma still dormant there. Still dormant, never disappeared. But because of the wholesome karma are powerful at this moment, all the unwholesome karma cannot ripen so fast. And that is very important. Do you get the answer? Do you get what the answer? How about others? Yes, okay. Right, okay.
Do we realize we perform negative karma, negative things by repenting, being remorseful, and good purification? Will that eradicate the unwholesome karma?
No karma can be, whatever unwholesome karma we have performed, we have to pay for it. We have to pay for it. But in a Buddhist way, whatever unwholesome karma you have performed, you should make a resolution not to do it again. And after that, forget it completely. Don't recall it again and again in your mind. Because in Abhidhamma, remorse itself is unwholesome mental factor. So when you recall it again and again, unwholesome consciousness occur in your mental stream again and again. Whatever unwholesome consciousness, that's one volition called karma. When you remorse the bad deed you have performed, it means that you are accumulating new unwholesome karma. So if you keep on recalling it during your dying moment, that it will appear again. Just like happened to Queen Malika. Queen Malika has performed so many wholesome deeds. Supported the Lord Buddha, invited the Arahant to her palace and offer. And yet during a dying moment, after that he remorse one bad deed she has performed to her husband. And she keep on thinking about that. And at her dying moment, she was cast into hell. So the most correct way is to make a resolution not to do it and forget it completely. Yes. Can be diluted, but cannot be. Right. Can be lessened. If you have a lot of good supportive karma, then the bad karma cannot ripen so easily. Even if it ripens, the effect becomes less. Okay. Okay, why not?
A lot of us, when we have done any good deeds, we like to dedicate it to our departed relatives.
Okay, good.
Now, we would never know where our departed relatives have been born.
Okay.
If they have been born in the good realm, they can't receive the merit.
Yes.
They can only receive the merit if they are born in the Theta world.
Right.
Now, we surely don't want to wish our relatives to be born in the Theta world.
Okay.
At the same time, we will never know for sure.
Yes, okay.
So how can we go about this when we dedicate to our departed people?
Oh, it's okay. Very good question, and it's also very easy to answer. Huh? Okay. So, we don't know, since we don't know where our departed relative take his rebirth. But for the safety, in case they're reborn in the Peta, we do dana and transfer merit to them. If they do not reborn in the Peta, if they do not become Peta, in the round of rebirth, we have so many relatives who already become Peta, not the present relative. In the round of rebirth, Buddha said there's no beginning. So we have so many departed relatives from our previous life who have already become Peta. Those Peta will receive your transfer of merit. So you manifested them, not the present departed one, but the past departed one. Okay? That's one good thing. Another good thing that you should do, why? Whether the departed relative receive it or not, you yourself are doing good thing. Because of the first do dana, then transfer merit. So you yourself accumulating two merits.
So does it mean it's better we don't specify which departed relative you are dedicating the merit?
No, you should. You should specify.
When you specify that particular relative is not
there, but other departed relative. Other departed relative are reborn as Peta. They can hear also. They are on the spot. They are on the spot when they hear that you are transfer merit. So when you transfer merit, you should not say only for this one. Usually we'll transfer merit for this one and also for all beings. You can recite from the 31 plane from the top up to the last, no problem. So all beings, so other Peta also included in all beings. So they will receive your merit. So you should do it. Okay? Okay.
So I have two questions. One is very short. The other one may take you a bit of time to answer.
Okay.
First question. Just now you mentioned, you told us a very beautiful story about Losaka itself, the Arahant. Can you tell us where is this story if you want to look into?
Okay, Dhammapada. Dhammapada.
And what verse?
I forgot that.
That's fine. So, what's the correct spelling for the Arahant?
Losaka. Losaka. Tissa. Losaka Tissa. Tissa.
Wonderful, thank you. Second question. Recently in the papers, there was a gentleman who, I think most of us have read, a very sad story. He actually committed suicide.
Okay.
He jumped out from his residence.
Mm-hmm.
And he took a lot of liquor and all that, just to numb his own senses, mm-hmm. but I'm sure he's afraid to jump.
Okay.
Now, I was just having a conversation with a Christian friend.
Okay.
And this came about. And this Christian friend of mine is saying that he was quite puzzled.
Mm.
And that person is the Christian,
mm.
the one who actually committed suicide. So he was struggling with this, whether this chap will go to hell or to heaven.
Mm.
Then there was this reply, which I did not read, so it's a second-hand story, that George Bush, the president, George Bush's daughter, came out to explain that this gentleman, will he go to hell or will he go to heaven after he dies?
Mm.
And the reply is that he will definitely go to heaven because he is now taken on Jesus as his Savior, and Jesus is the Son of God, and that the Father is God.
Mm.
So the God, if you are the Father and your Son is behaving very badly, or even a drug addict, or you know, do something very bad, no matter what, he's still your Son.
Mm.
So on that account, they are saying that God will bring him to heaven.
Okay.
So from the Buddhist point of view, from the Abhidhamic point of view, can you please comment to help us understand?
It depends on the last thought moment. But generally, commit suicide is killing a life. So it's bad. It's a bad. But if his last moment, when he commits suicide, before he really, the life faculty is cut off. If at that moment he can contemplate inside knowledge, if he has that inside knowledge, he may go to the good planes. This happened during Buddha's time. Many bhikkhu, they practice very hard, and yet they cannot attain anything. So they were depressed. So they want to commit suicide. So when the knife just cut his throat, suddenly his inside knowledge matured, and he contemplates the impermanent suffering and non-self of all formations, and he attained arahantship before he passed away. But for the Christian to contemplate anicca, dukkha, anatta, I think it's not easy, because they are not taught in that way. So I cannot say definitely whether he will go to heaven or to hell. It depends on his last thought moment. But I think mostly he will go to four woeful states, because he killed one life. He killed one life, and when killing a time, a lot of suffering. You know, you jump from that, your body all broken into pieces. That pain, before he passed away, that pain can cause him to the four woeful state.
But on the account that he has taken so much drugs and liquor to numb all his senses,
Then it's unwholesome. It's definitely unwholesome already. So if he was drunk, he cannot recollect good things. So he will definitely go to four woeful states, according to the Buddhist view.
So the view of a savior, when you accept someone as your savior, in this case, in the Christian context, it's God, or the Son of God. What is the view? Is that a wrong view? Does it fall under one of the wrong views?
Yes, right. Right. It's called belief in creator. It's one of the wrong views.
One view in the Brahmacharya, that actually indicates that a belief in a deity or in something.
Not deity, a creator.
Creator.
Belief in deity, we also believe in deity. But creator. It's not wrong view, creator. Because they think God is creator.
So that's a wrong view.
Right.
Sorry.
I should limit the question.
Last question.
Yeah. If we think that something bad going to happen, is there any way that we can prevent it?
How true is your senses? It may happen, it may not happen.
Certain times it happens. Say I have a feeling that something bad may happen, then maybe I got a scolding from somebody or done something wrong. So a few times it happens.
How to prevent? So my opinion is that before that happen, you quickly do more, not only dana, accumulate more and more wholesome deeds, either dana, sila, bhavana, you know, listening to the talk and accumulate more. So when the wholesome karma are strong, usually unwholesome karma cannot ripen so fast, because the supportive karma is so powerful. So the unwholesome karma relatively become weak.
But at the point that we are working, we are not able to remember.
Up to you. Up to you. I think the last question, last one. Okay, last lady.
Yes.
This is my first time to attend the lesson. I'm not quite sure if the just when you mentioned about karma, about this, about the karma and the obstructive, and there's a person and a person. So does that mean that when we do meritorious good deeds, right, we'll constitute to all this wholesome karma,
right,
regardless of the either it's a supportive or obstructive person?
For example, now you reborn, I think I have given a lot of example to you. Now, for example, the good deed you have performed that produce just like the example I give the Bada, the previous wife of Mahakasapa, because she offered the food, good food to the Pacheka Buddha. But before that, she took back the bowl and threw away and filled up with mud. So the offering produced her good rebirth as a beautiful lady. But the obstructive, unwholesome obstructive karma that throw it away and fill up with mud, make her body smelly. So at that time it become obstructive karma.
So doesn't when you do good deeds or do whatever things, you don't care about what consequence it will generate, whether it will come to us as a supportive or obstructive.
Sometimes we may not know. But supportive easy to know. For example, now I practice a lot of dana, morality. I know it will become my supportive karma for me to have better life, maybe in this present life or future. It sure become a supportive karma. But how it works as an obstructive, that very difficult to say. Okay.
Then, Father, I got another question. Regarding that, just now the gentleman has talked about when one person, just now what you say is a Christian or suicide. For me, you say that when one person kills himself, is a coming of a killing,
right.
So you go to definitely go to a Wapo state.
Right.
Okay, but the thing is, how come some people we read, right, they constantly have this thought of killing themselves? If they kill someone,
they cause someone to kill
themselves or they commit suicide themselves, they will fall, end up in the awful state, right? Then how can they, suppose for them to respond as a human being, but still carry on this thought of killing themselves? How do this amitama apply to that?
I'm not very clear about it.
Okay, what you say is, when the actions, what we do, right, will get at the same effect.
Right.
Okay. So when we kill ourselves, we will end up in the wrong place. Okay, but how come some people, nowadays some people, right, they continue to have this thought of killing themselves, but they are not a human being. I mean, they are not in the wrong place. I mean, how do this...
One thing you should remember, that not everything is caused by karma. No, Buddha say karma play a very important role, but not everything caused by karma. So sometimes the present life, due to depression, the misery in life, that suddenly a thought of killing, commit suicide will appear. But as you say, this killing suicide may become a tendency coming from the past. It also possible. Right. Because although Buddha say it's so difficult to get rid, to get out of four woeful states, to reborn as human and deva. But it's also possible. It's very difficult, but it's also, there's possibility. Just like Queen Malika, when she was born in hell for 7 days, after 7 days, her good karma ripened. And she escaped from the hell and reborn in heaven.
Maybe before we make further announcements, let's just join our hearts together and thank Xiaoli, Susila, to give us a wonderful teaching on the higher teachings of Buddha, the Abhidhamma. And let's just say sadhu, sadhu three times.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
And may I invite Sally to share merits?
Okay, yes. So one more merit to accumulate. Okay. Whatever merit we have performed, we should direct it towards the realization of Nibbana. If you want to become Bodhisattva, you should direct it towards realization of Buddhahood. Okay. Idang me punyang asawa kaya wahang hodu idang me
ponyang
dibanasa pacayo hodu mama punya bagang sabasatanang bajemi te sabe me samang punya bagang labantu sadu sadu sadu. Thank you for everyone, and thank you for the organizer to give me an opportunity to share this higher teaching with you. Thank you.